You have your Bibles. Turn and open Isaiah 54. I love this passage. Love it. Love it, love it. Starting in verse 14. He says, "You shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness, and conformity with God's will and order. You shall be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear and from terror, for it shall not come near you." Well, how do you do that? How do you establish yourself in righteousness? You get your life right with Jesus. Remember, he became sin that knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of him. You can't get righteous in your own effort. It requires your trust and your belief in Jesus. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Without believing in what Jesus has done for you, you cannot establish yourself in righteousness. It's nothing that you can do on your own. When you establish yourself in God's righteousness, you won't feel the need to oppress God's people. Where there is oppression, you will find self-righteousness, because they will make it all about themselves. Jesus told Pharisees in Matthew 23:23. You have that one on there? It says this: "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from the your herb gardens, but you ignore the more aspects of life, of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." See, well, the New Testament doesn't tell us to tithe. He's telling you right here. You should tithe, yes. He didn't say you should tithe. You shouldn't tithe. You won't find that in Scripture. But they were tithing everything down. They knew how to tithe. But he's saying that the more important issues in life is justice, mercy, and faith. They were oppressing the people. They weren't skipping out on their tithes. So when people say, well, the New Testament law doesn't tell us to tithe, God doesn't tell us to tithe, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us to tithe, they never stop tithing. Tithing has never been done away with the curse of the law. You will never find that in Scripture. So we tithe. But we also practice justice, mercy, and faith. Don't neglect those things. We're not practicing justice, mercy, and faith when if I were to stand up here and talk about someone else's situation that I don't know of. We have to practice justice. God is a God of justice. The prophet Isaiah says, "You shall be far from even the thought of oppression and destruction." Why? When you practice justice, mercy, and faith, because you're standing in righteousness. You've established yourself in righteousness. The thief comes to do what? Jesus came that we may have what? I don't know why people get off on saying that God doesn't want you. I said, you know, they don't like the Joel Osteen, the blessed, you know, God doesn't want you to have your best life. Yes, he does. You can have your best life in the midst of chaos. You can have your best sleep in the midst of a storm. Check Jesus out in Mark. God wants you to have your best. If he doesn't want you to have your best life, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. He wouldn't have sent the best. He wouldn't have given you the best. What are you focused on? Well, the chaos and the trouble and the tribulation and all that. You can focus on the suffering and you can focus on the promise. I choose to focus on the promise. Suffering, that's light affliction. That's light affliction. We're all going to go through that. That's light affliction. But the promise, that's what you're supposed to be living. This is something that God has promised you. For all of God's promises are yes and amen for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ? Do you belong to Jesus? Those are for you. So God affords you to live your best life even in the midst of a storm. And some people don't like that, but yet they will strive for it on their own. Why do away with what God has given you just so that we can get our own stuff? He makes it easy for us. You want it to be difficult? Roll with Satan. We think that's the easy life. That's difficult. If we're living our life by the Spirit, walking in the flesh should be uncomfortable for us rather than the other way around. The things that we do in the flesh should be uncomfortable for us because we're living our life by the Spirit of God. We're living our life by the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience. We're living that every single day. So anytime that I would step out into the flesh, that should make me feel uncomfortable. God wants you to live your best life. He wants you to have a great marriage. He wants your kids to be obedient to Him and to you. He wants your kids to be able to honor you. He wants you to have these things. He wants you to have a great relationship with Him. That's living your best life, man. Every day. He's not skipping out on that. God is not withholding any good thing from you. He doesn't want you lacking. I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. But it's a thief, and we focus on the thief. He comes to steal, kill, destroy. He comes to destroy. He comes to destroy. Things are being destroyed in my life. Why? Well, I'm just honoring God. No, you're being a fool. Satan's got you deceived because you're thinking that's the life and it's not really the life. Amen. If you're not living your best life, something's wrong. Fix your focus. We're walking around that tin cup, gun on chain link fences, swing low, sweet chariot. Why? He wants you living that best life. He wants your relationships. Listen, you're going to have problems. Who hasn't had a problem here in this world? Since you've been living. Been living for 50 years. I've had maybe one or two. We've all had problems. We've all had problems. That's not your focus. I have problems, but I have a Heavenly Father that loves me, that cares about me, that's given me His best. He didn't give me some knockoff version. He gave me His unconditional love. He's given me His grace and His mercy. He's given me His word. He's given me His authority. He's given me that power. He's anointed me. Come on, man. But He doesn't want you to have a good life? God wants you to have a good life. Anybody telling you something different? God bless you. I'll pray for you. Send him some coals. He wants you having a good life. What's the next verse in that one in Isaiah? 54:15. Behold, they may gather together and stir up strife, but it's not from me. God says it's not from me. People will gather together. They will compile against with one another. If the enemy has got people coming after you, then that means that you've got something great on the inside of you. They have deemed you unstoppable, so we need more people to come against little old you. Well, Lord, thank you for that. Why? Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. I appreciate that. Thank you for waking me up. At the time that you thought that you were nothing in this world, the enemy comes and gathers up his troops just to come after you because you're strong in the Lord. You are mighty in the kingdom of God. Your word matters. And the enemy is trying to get you to the place to where your word doesn't matter. So he will compile everyone up to stir up strife. And God is saying, that's not from me. People could be saying, I think the Lord is trying to tell me. No, he's not. He's trying to tell you this. It's not from me. See, the enemy can leave you defeated if he just left you alone. But when he comes after you, it's because there's something on the inside of you. Well, thank you for waking me up. Now I'm going to kick your butt. Think about that. He's a professional thief. He knows what to do. The word strife means contention, discord. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says bitter or sometimes violent conflict or dissension. The act of contention, fight, struggle, exertion, or contention for superiority. Wrathful men will stir up strife and discord. So what do you do with that? Pray for them. Because they might be battling something that you have no clue on. They could be going through some stuff from years ago, and then that's just the way they last out. That's just the way they operate. And they don't have it. They haven't really released it to God and given it to God. And so they will always stir up drama in your life. Strife. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for all of them. Bless them. Why? Because you're going to reap what you sow. You curse them. Come on now. Your words are powerful. 2026, we're going to build up. We're not going to tear down. We're going to build up. I had a lot of fun tearing down. But the Lord showed me I was tearing down myself. Can't do that. You can't survive that way. Got to build up. Build people up. You don't have to agree with them, but build them up. Why? Because I want God's best for your life. I want you to understand what he's done for you. And we're going to make that very abundantly clear. Every single day of your life, we're going to walk in victory, but with humility. You'll hear some people say, man, I can't wait. I'm going to be sliding on into heaven. And I'm not trying to discredit anyone. But I want to walk tall with humility. Know that I've done it right. You sliding on in, you've been doing some dirt. Whoo! Look. People ask, where'd you come from? Oh, to and fro. Do I know you? No, it's fine. You don't want that to happen. We come in because of the grace and faith that which we were saved by. We placed our trust in Jesus. I want to walk tall and with humility. That's the way I want to enter. Not sliding on in. When you're sliding in there first, no. Oh my goodness. Come on now. The trouble that comes your way, God says it is not from me. Resist it. Most times we don't want to resist it. Resist means to fight against, stand against it, stand firm against it. Resist that stuff. You don't have to submit to it, resist it. Therefore, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will do what? Flee from you. Resist. It's okay to resist. Some people make you feel guilty for doing exactly what the Word of God says. Resist. That's your right to. That's part of living that blessed life. That you're living your best life now. What? You're able to resist the evil that is coming against you, against your marriage, against your family, against your relationships, against your ministry, against and what have you. Your family is your ministry, against your job. You're able to resist that. You can be cool as a cucumber on your job and people are just panicking. What's going on? I say, hey, we just need to resist this. We don't have to submit to it. Resist it. That's your right. That's part of your inheritance. Y'all got problems in your life? Resist it. Quit talking about it. Death and life are in your tongue. Your tongue. Your tongue. But I'm not a preacher. Neither am I. No, I'm sorry. I am. But you don't need a title. You serve the same God, same anointing, same authority, same power. It works just as good in your mouth that it does in mine. So you don't have to call Pastor Tim up. You do it. Come on. I like to hear your testimonies. You know what God did through me this week? God did this, and somebody was having a problem, and we spoke, we got an agreement, and God just made a way. I said, it was just a miracle. I want to hear those rather than Pastor Tim, I have a problem. Why? Because then I'm not doing my job equipping you. Because it's my responsibility to equip you with what God has already given you. To go out and do the works of Christ. So if I'm not equipping you, that's on me. If you can't pray for someone else, that's on me. If you don't know how to take your stand against the enemy, that's on me. If I never spoke it, if I never preached it, I know good and well I preached it in this short time, many of times. So don't allow yourself to get whooped by the devil. Because every single day you stand in victory. Every single day you wake up, oh, it feels good to win. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Feels good to win. Why? He can't touch you. But he can lay thoughts. You know, the Bible says, take no thought what? Saying. Take no thought by saying. You'll create your own problems with this. If you believe it. Jesus says it's not what you put in your mouth, goes through your intestines and comes out of you that defiles a person. What defiles a person is what comes out of here. Speak life. You ever had a coach? Any of y'all play sports in high school? Junior high school, college and stuff. You ever have somebody that, you could, sometimes we could be hard on ourselves. And I was one of those players that was hard on myself. I don't need you to be hard. I know I'm a lot more. I hold myself to a higher standard. And you have a coach that'll come and tell you, hey, I was playing here. Coach Gardner told me, you know, you could be an All-American here. I'm like, you see that in me? Like, he goes, yeah. You're better than so-and-so because you can create your own shot and stuff. He goes, but you got to promise me you're going to put in the work over the summer. I said, bet. He ended up leaving though. And for good reason. But you have somebody that believes in you. Somebody's looking for that every single day. They're looking for you to speak life because you are the light that God has placed here on earth. They're looking for you to speak life into them. Walking around, not doing anything. I mean, they don't even know where to go. They have no direction. They need someone who has been listening to God, who has been spending time in prayer and time in his word. And you coming in and you're giving them a word of admonishment, a word of encouragement from the Lord. They need that. Even in this little town, people still need that. There's people who are hanging on by a thread. And your word can change their life. And the hardest thing and the most difficult thing to do is to do it when you're going through something as well. Who's going to say something to me? No. You just say it. Because I guarantee you it's going to stir something up on the inside of you. Wait a minute. God is good. Why have I been moping around like this all day long? Why have I been, man, what's this tin cup? And throw this out of here. Take that extra one out, you have to. I mean, if we lose one, we go find another one. Sing a new song. We're thinking we're going to gain sympathy from other people by playing the victim. We're not. If you're playing the victim, then you've forgotten who you were in Christ. Because God doesn't look at you as a victim. You're a child of God. That's what you should be thinking about every single day of your life. This little problem is just that, a little problem. And it's nothing. God has come to give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. You don't have to have another bad day in your life if you don't want to. Another bad day, you don't have to have one. That's how good he is. Lord, regardless of what happens in my life and in other people's lives, we're still going to give you praise. We are still going to come here and glorify your name. I'm still going to serve you. When have you resolved to say that? And if you haven't, you need to. Lord, I will still serve you if I don't get this. I will still serve you if this doesn't happen for me in my life. I will still serve you and I will still love you with every fiber of my being. When you decide to make a quality decision like that, can't nothing touch you. Lord, I've been praying for that promotion for so long and they gave it to someone else. I'm going to still serve you. So get rid of the thought of, I'm going to burn this place down. I'm going to set this mug on fire. I'm going to go postal on them. No, you don't need to do all that. Verse 16. It says, behold, I have created the smith who blows on the fire of coals and who produces a weapon for its purpose. And I have created the devastator to destroy. God created these people, but he's not responsible for their actions. He created the blacksmith. They forge these weapons. They make these weapons of warfare and things, but he did not. He is not responsible for how they act and respond and everything else. But regardless of it, he also created you. And he created you in his image. Verse 17. He says, but no weapon. No weapon, Richard, no weapon that is formed against you shall ever prosper. No weapon formed against you that the enemy may throw at you will ever prosper against you. So why do we worry? Why do we get in fear? Because sometimes we forget that God is going to take care of it. We forget who we are. We forget what we have in Christ. Our problems became bigger than what our solution is. And Jesus is always the answer. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation for any other, for there is no other name under heaven given by men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only name that can save us. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. This is your inheritance. No weapon God's protection over you. No weapon. Will formed against you shall prosper. Ever. No sickness. I'm serious. Doesn't have to. I have to turn stuff off. You know, I get all my news off of TikTok, and sometimes they're not right. I'm just playing, but I'm not. But you know, you got to shut that stuff off. Well, you got to have to die of sickness. I remember there was a time when I thought I had to die. In order for me to check out, it had to be of cancer. That was straight out of the pit of hell. That was stupid. I canceled that junk out once I got the good news. You don't. You don't. Don't yield to it. Don't yield to sickness. Don't yield to disease. I don't care what your doctor said. I love you, but I don't care what your doctor said. Don't yield to it. They can give you a report, but you already got a better report here. Every single day you can read this report. You don't like something that's going on? Look at your report. It's right there. Think about it. It's right here. And God watches over his word to do what? But the enemy will keep us from this. Distractions will keep us from this. And it's right here. We should be like, fastest reader in the world. Seeing a young kid doing this and just trying to absorb all the knowledge in the word. But it's right here. You got a good report every single time. Man, I want to hear some good news today. Turn to the Gospels. Let me find out what Jesus had done for me. Every day, you're down and out. Let me read the report. What does the report say today? You'll check the weather every day, won't you? Check the report. Proclaim, declare over your life. Honey, let's get together. What? We got a business. We got this going on here. Let's get into the word. What is this? Let's declare this today. And if we start speaking anything that's contrary to what we've read and what we believed and what we received, let's call each other out. Why? Because we don't want that in our life. What happens if you do that? Do you really want that? If you got to go back to that, is that your confession? Go back to it. You never should have deviated from that because it keeps you in check. It keeps this in check. And it keeps this in check. Out of the abundance of the heart, the what will speak? Mouth. Good report. Every time. And we don't want to read this. We don't want to spend any time in it. We'd rather death scroll, right? I'm guilty of that. We'll turn on a movie or something like that and I'll get on my phone. Then I'll kind of have to rewatch it over again. That happened on there? Wasn't paying attention. You got to put it down. Pick up the word. Read it. You're going to get a good report every time. My health. Lord, Moses was 120 years old and he was climbing mountains. I thank you, Lord, today that I can climb these stairs. That I don't struggle in climbing these stairs. There's times when I'm downstairs and I walk up and I'm like breathing hard. But I can run up and I'm fine. But I cancel that out, Lord. I thank you that I'm able to walk up and run without the hard, heavy breathing. Why? It's what you're speaking over yourself. I had a guy tell me on the team, man, you ain't going to be walking by the time you're 30. 29 hit, and I was struggling up some steps. I had to cancel that out because I received it. Struggling to get up the steps. Well, my knee always hurts when the weather is bad. Guess what? When it's throbbing, what have you been speaking? Now, I'm not going to do anything crazy and confess that I can run a marathon. Who would do that? That's for the birds, man. Good night. Nobody want to run. That's why. I'm not David Goggins. That's why. Anyone who chooses, Satan is not playing with a full deck. Anyone who chooses to be your opposition, they're not playing with a full deck. They're not very smart. They're not very wise. Why? Because your inheritance is that God will protect you at all times. If you abide in his shadow, if you abide in his shelter, if you live in his shelter, he's not playing. My son and I, Isaiah, we were playing dominoes one afternoon, and we had 28, and it was an old set that I had just off the set, found it and stuff, and we started playing, and then we recognized a few of the numbers were the same, so we had to set it to the side, and then I ended up counting all of them, and it was 25. You need 28, so it was three set to the side, so we couldn't play with a full deck. We couldn't, so added, well, there goes that. I'm going to throw that away, and that's like three or four times I've done that over the years. Well, I just ended up throwing it away. People aren't playing with a full deck. Or Satan, your enemy. He's not very smart. So for him to outsmart us, he can deceive, but he can't outsmart you. And he can't out overpower you. And he can't harm you. He can't do nothing that you don't will. He can delay stuff. I get that because other people will yield themselves to him. But he can't touch you. We should be talking about more and more victory, helping people to get to that place to where you're at. And if you're not there, how can we help you to get to where you're at? What do we need to get in agreement with? You don't have to manipulate people. Just, hey, will you get an agreement with me for this to happen right here? And we're just believing God's best in this. Come on, let's go. Let's pray. What does the word say about it? You got any scriptures? Well, no. Well, let's get some scriptures. What's hard about that? And let's get an agreement. And don't you dare back off. Put your angels to work. They're unemployed. I was trying to stay up here, and Kristen said that I wouldn't. I can't stay up here. I got to make it difficult for the cameraman. You will have triumph over opposition. This is your inheritance as a child of God. And Jesus told Peter that upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. The gates of hell will not be able to stop the church. The gates of hell will not be able to stop the church. The gates of hell will not be able to stop the church. Come on, y'all can be louder than that. Not one time does the gates of hell have an advantage against the church, and at times it looks like people are being conquered, but it's by their own thoughts. Their own thoughts. Psalm 91 says this, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This psalm is not for those who live any kind of way they want to and then expect God to do it for them. You have to live there. You're living in the shelter of the Most High. The Most High will lift you above all those things. And the Almighty is within his infinite power that he's operating through. Call him the Most High and the Almighty. And then you got the little old devil. See, we think that we can live any kind of way and then God is just going to protect us. No, we're opening up that door. Just leave it right open your front door. Leave the back door. Open up the windows in your room. I'm pretty sure somebody's going to walk in. They're going to see it. They're going to notice it. And they're going, oh, I'm going to come at the right opportune time so I can do three things. You have to live in the shelter of the Most High. And it says, you will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2 says, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I will trust him. That's making God your sole protector. They're making a declaration. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. Is God alone your refuge? Say it. God alone is my refuge. God, he is my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Lord, I trust you all day, every day, 24/7, 365. I trust you. There's nothing wrong with saying that. Don't be scared. Your words have power, release them. It says, verse 3, it says, for he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Now, the last time I said this, COVID hit. That's the last time I read the scripture. I was like, forget that, man. Jeez. But I'm going to come back and double down on it. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from every deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. That's why it's important to stay connected to God. You value his word over other people's opinions. God delivers you from the traps that he will set. He cares about you so much that he's written it throughout 66 books. And we should never get too grown to where we think that we don't need God's protection. You know, we could say that about our parents. Oh, Mom, you're being overprotected. Dad, you're being this, what have you. I say, listen, your parents are always going to be praying over you. They're always going to be loving on you. God wants to protect you. Jesus longed to protect them. In Matthew 23, he says here, they just keep rejecting Jesus. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messenger. How often have I wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Jesus wants to protect you, but you have to let him. If we continue to do stuff that is just wild and crazy, what have you, it's just like, okay, the enemy's just going to have his way. I don't want to see that. He doesn't want to see that. We have to let him protect us. How often they rebelled against the Holy One of Israel. over and over and over again. God would show them. He would show mercy towards them. And then they would come back to him, and then they would rebel against him over and over. Now, we know it wasn't very good for them. We have it in writing. We have to be smarter than that. You were sealed, yes, but you still have a flesh. The enemy can't, sin can't touch your spirit, but it can have an effect on your body. That's why he's given us his grace, his mercy. He tells us to repent. If there's need, if you need to repent, it doesn't have to be this big old storyline. Lord, I missed it. And you don't have to tell me. That's a relationship between you and the Father. I don't want to know. Don't need to know. If I call it out from up here, don't even raise your hand and be like, oh, he's talking about me. I don't need to know. He didn't give me any names. Just say, Lord, yeah, he got me. I missed that. Now, come on. Let's go. I'm ready to roll. God's protection. Every day of your life. Remember, he's for you. He's not against you. He's not trying to hurt you. He's not trying to kill you off. He wants your best, the best for you. Anybody telling you different? They haven't read his word. They're reading it wrong. Different perspective. I know sometimes people want to get deep. It's like scuba diving with no scuba gear. You can't get too deep. You're going to get water on the brain. Don't get too deep with it. He wants you to have a good life. And don't allow anyone else to condemn you or put you to shame just because you're living a good life. They don't know where you came through. They don't know what you have to go through. They don't know your trials and tribulations. You just don't focus on them as much as they do. That's kind of how they get sympathy. Influence. But you don't have to do that because you got God's favor on your life. Joseph wasn't singing the sweet lows. And yet his own brothers betrayed him. Now, he let them suffer a little bit. He was playing with them. Joseph was getting his revenge, so to speak. He was playing with them. Leave your young brother here. We can't go without him. But he already knew he was going to forgive him. The things you go through, make sure you give God the glory, but resist it if it's from the devil. Don't waste another day. Like when Moses had asked Pharaoh, when do you want these frogs to be done? He goes, tomorrow. Why not now? Why wait another day? You mean to tell me you're going to sleep another night with these frogs all over the place? Everywhere you step in. Get rid of them now. Get rid of it now. Don't wait another day. Suffering through something that you don't have to suffer through. You've been redeemed. Live it. Live your best life. People don't like that, they can come see me. I'll pray for you. So if you don't want to live your best life, give me all your money. And I'll go sow it into other people. And you can live broke. Busted up, disgusted. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you for your protection that is over your children, Lord, even online, that they don't ever have to live in fear anymore. They don't have to live in doubt and unbelief anymore. They can trust you, Lord. And as we declare every single day of our lives that you are our refuge, you are our safety, we will love you, we will trust you at all times, Lord. We thank you that you hear their voice. We thank you for the promises in our life that are coming to pass every single day. And we're not going to stop, and we won't stop loving and serving you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.